welcome to Formation. This is our weekly conversation for followers of Jesus. My name is Shannon Moore, and I am thrilled to be here with
Renee Hoke,
Kara Watts.
Whoop. We are in week five or so of four of our journey through the book of Acts. We are, as a church here at University Christian Church, reading through the entire book, one chapter a day, Monday through Friday. And today we're going to be, we just have finished this week reading chapters 16 through 20. So we're going to take a look back and do a little deep dive of what we read this week and talk about it and
kind of
see what
comes
up.
The best nuggets of
yes.
the reading.
So I'm going to start in chapter 16, and we're going to be starting at verse 16. You'll notice, and Kara and I talked about this in the intro to Acts back several weeks ago, this is one of those times where it has been in third person descriptive mode of storytelling, and now we get some first person plural, we did this. It's an interesting thing that happens in this book. It kind of goes back and forth of tenses. So here we are at verse 16. I'm going to read this for us. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. The magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. They were severely flogged, thrown into jail, and fastened in an inner cell with their feet in stocks. So here we have this woman. She has a spirit. She tells the future. The thing that stands out to me, well, what stands out to you most about this story so far?
It's a lot to take in. I think the move immediately for me to the magistrates mm-hmm. and these people are disturbing our city. Like this uproar is beyond just this individual mm-hmm. interaction. It is a entire. I mean, they were thrown in jail for this.
Right. And the men who owned
yeah.
this woman were so angry
yes.
that and took it so personally at this loss of income that they made it bigger.
Yes.
Much bigger.
Deal. Yes.
I think the thing that stands out to me and sort of bothers me is that Paul exercised this spirit out of annoyance.
Yes, that makes a big difference in the telling, doesn't it?
It does.
If he's trying to liberate her from a spirit that has kind of mm-hmm. trapped her, that's one thing. But for Luke, and maybe this is Luke not so crazy about Paul all the time, who's like, Paul was really annoyed. I mean, that's strange to get that detail.
Yes. And so what happens next, and I'm just going to summarize these next few verses, but Paul and Silas are in jail, and as we talked about last week, prison break stories are really important in
yep.
in this time. And so, again, we have another prison break story where there's like an earthquake, and they're freed from their stocks, and the jailer who is there and in charge of all these prisoners just knows that he's going to be punished, he's going to possibly be killed. He'll definitely be shamed if not killed. And this is an honor and shame were really big in this society. And so he's about to complete suicide because of it. And then Paul says, no, don't do that. We're all still here.
We didn't run away.
And so the jailer takes him home, takes them to his home and feeds them and fixes, binds their wounds. And it's all great. And they all are, his whole household is saved, and it's sort of like happily ever after. The next day, Paul and Silas are let go. But I keep coming back to this servant girl who now has no source of income, who has...
We don't know what happens to her.
We never know what happens to her. She's never mentioned again. And it's like, oh, look, this jailer got... his family got saved. But I keep going back to this poor girl who now has no source of income and, you know, she's no use to the people who owned her anymore. And that this story, it always bothers me so much when I hear this story.
I never have paid attention to that, Shannon. Good for you for, I like the fact that they're singing in jail.
Yes.
I always imagined, because I like to put myself in these stories when I was learning to read the Bible, that if I was ever thrown in prison for my faith, I would sing like that. I would be like Paul and Silas.
What would you sing?
Standing on the Promises.
Ooh. That'd be good. We sang that in worship last Sunday, and it was wonderful.
It was wonderful.
Oh, it was wonderful.
I felt like I was a little kid back home standing with my family singing that song. Yeah.
So now that seems very shallow compared to the problem that you raised. So.
Well, no,
I was just preparing for when I was going to be jailed for my faith.
Well, you know, I think it's a both and. You know, it is great that Paul and Silas and the other, you know, whatever hymns they were singing, whatever spirit was there that caused them not to run away when the chains were loosened and the jailer didn't have to kill himself, that's wonderful. And, you know, but there's always, usually there's another side of a story that we don't.
That's right. It's good to look at those
details.
Think about how everyone is being impacted.
And a reminder that, you know, Paul's human.
Yeah.
I mean...
He has the power
to
exercise.
But figuring out how to do it, we see him kind of
not
do it as well.
Another parallel of, you know, Jesus got annoyed when the woman was repeatedly asking him to heal her daughter.
Right. And he said some not so nice things.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, but Jesus then had the foresight to take in what she said.
And to take care of that.
And
to care for her.
To end things in a different way. All right. Well, an interesting story there. I want us to scoot over to...
Do you have any more jailbreak stories?
Chapter 17. Not yet.
Those are also important in Westerns, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Jailbreak stories.
And in the Brady Bunch. Remember when the Brady Bunch got locked in the ghost town jail?
In the ghost town. That kind of falls into the Western category.
Yes.
Oh, we're old. So in chapter 17, Paul has been in Berea, and he's heading to Athens and leaves instructions for Silas and Timothy, who is a young man who is a convert and now a believer as well, to join him in Athens. So that's where we pick up. Kara, will you read chapter 17, verses 16 through 23?
Yes. The longer Paul waited in Athens for Silas and Timothy, the angrier he got. All those idols. The city was a junkyard of idols. He discussed it with the Jews and other like-minded people at their meeting place. And every day he went out on the streets and talked with anyone who happened along. He got to know some of the Epicurean and Stoic intellectuals pretty well through these conversations. Some of them dismissed him with sarcasm. What a moron. But others, listening to...
Yep. Yes.
Thank you, message. But others, listening to him go on about Jesus and the resurrection, were intrigued. That's a new slant on the gods. Tell us more. These people got together and asked him to make a public presentation over at the Areopagus, where things were a little quieter. They said, "This is a new one on us. We've never heard anything quite like this. Where did you come up with this anyway? Explain it so we can understand." Downtown Athens was a great place for gossip. There were always people hanging around, natives and tourists alike, waiting for the latest tidbit on most anything. So Paul took his stand in the open space at the Areopagus and laid it out for them. "It is plain to see that you Athenians take your religion seriously. When I arrived here the other day, I was fascinated with all the shrines I came across. And then I found one inscribed, 'To the God Nobody Knows.' I'm here to introduce you to this God so you can worship intelligently. Know who you're dealing with."
That's a really great translation.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, I love it.
So good. Uh-huh. All right, I'm going out to get my message.
And what did it say? What was the funny thing that we said?
What a moron.
What a moron.
Yes.
We this this translation says, what is this babbler trying to say?
Right.
And in one of the commentaries that I read, it said that the translation is busybody. He's he's a gossip or a busybody, which I think is pretty funny. So here he is in this center of all that, you know, where all knowledge lies. Athens is just so full of itself, and everybody just wants to know what the latest ideas are. This long history of philosophers, and so at this point we've got the Epicureans and the Stoics. They're sort of running against each other. The Epicureans are sort of live and let live, and the most important thing in life is to not be in pain and to have a good time, and not to excess, but that to find some pleasure in the way of life. And then you got the Stoics, who are a lot more conservative about what the meaning of life is. And here Paul is just going head to head with all of these philosophers. It's very, very interesting.
And what a clever intro he uses to bridge their world with the message that he wants to give.
Yeah, will you read a little bit of that, just kind of pick up at 24?
Yes. This is Paul continuing. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things.
Yeah, that's good.
Beautiful.
It's right. And then he continues to tell about the story of Jesus. But as you said, he ties it back to even they have a shrine to an unknown God, that there's something they don't know.
Right.
Well, let me tell
very
you.
Very smart.
This is who it is. And then, he talks about Jesus and how Jesus is raised from the dead. Carol, will you read, start at verse 32 and read just through the first, you're in the message. So the verses aren't quite as
32 through 34. 32 through 34?
Something like that, okay. Yeah.
At the phrase, raising him from the dead, the listeners split. Some laughed at him and walked off making jokes. Others said, let's do this again. We want to hear more. But that was it for the day, and Paul left. There were still others, it turned out, who were convinced then and there and stuck with Paul. Among them, Dionysius, the Areopagite, I don't know how to say that. And a woman named Damaris.
Yeah. So he got some
folks.
Some believers. Some just
some didn't.
Thought it was ridiculous.
And some just
somebody raised from the dead.
He really is a moron. So we had to not take any of that personally, right?
Right. But I bet he did.
Yeah.
Knowing Paul.
He probably did.
I thought that was just an interesting story because, there's a story later where, people think that Paul is Zeus, I think, or one of the gods.
Yeah.
So to have this, we study mythology and to find all of that in in our scripture, I think is super interesting. Yeah. That's why I wanted us to lift up this story from Athens today. I thought that was interesting. One more story. This is probably my favorite story in Acts. And so, Renee, even though I wanted to read it myself, I thought you would do such a great job.
I hope I don't let you down.
This story. I bet you don't. This is chapter 20, verses 7 through 12.
On the first day of the week, when we met to break bread, Paul was holding a discussion with them. Since he intended to leave the next day, he continued speaking until midnight. There were many lamps in the room upstairs where we were meeting. A young man named
Eutychus,
who was sitting in the window, began to sink off into a deep sleep while Paul talked still longer. Overcome by sleep, he fell to the ground three floors below and was picked up dead. But Paul went down and, bending over him, took him in his arms and said, "Do not be alarmed, for his life is in him." Then Paul went upstairs, and after he had broken bread and eaten, he continued to converse with them until dawn. Then he left. Meanwhile, they had taken the boy away alive and were not a little comforted.
I love this story so
then
much.
He goes on up. He has a... I know you want to hear the end of my speech.
Right.
So, leave this guy laying on the ground. Go back up to the meeting room.
The thing that, you know, it starts out with a really clear indication that now Christians are meeting on the first day of the week, not on
That's right.
the Sabbath.
Right.
And
breaking
they're
bread.
Breaking bread. So this tells us that the Christian community is commemorating the resurrection on the first day of the week. The funny thing about this story that the commentary I read pointed out is how much detail there is at the beginning, that there were lamps, that they're in an upstairs mm-hmm. room, that they're on the third story, that he's sitting at a window, that you know he fought, you know, that gives all of these details. But then when Paul bores him literally to death and he falls out, then the details go away. It's like he's dead, but Paul says, no, he's still alive. And then he goes, I mean, like, where are the details? What? How was he really dead? Was he as good as dead? it's just very, and then for Paul to go back and continue this sermon, like, it's just hilarious. I'm going to tell this story. But the thing that's the funniest thing to me is Eutychus means lucky.
Not really. Not in this
that
case.
Name is translated lucky. Oh I just gosh. Think this is a funny story. But is there a, what's the point of it? Do you think? Is there a message for us in
it? Do you think it's just the life and times of the early church? Interesting things that happened to Paul. Do you think? What is it? I don't know that Paul looks necessarily, you know.
Great.
Great in this story. Everybody's gathering. Paul's talking a long time. Young man falls out.
But there is the...
What
you know,
is
the way
point?
That he brings the sort of resuscitates this
right.
brings him back to life is reminiscent of Elijah and Elisha and
right.
how they did the same thing. Not a lot of, you know, it's not like a lot of description about how it is, just sort of reach down, put his arms around him, and then
a miracle.
He's okay.
Have you ever talked for that long? That people were
no,
sinking
I
down?
I hope not.
Try really hard
yeah.
to contain your
Yeah.
contain your
yeah.
words.
I think my children would say that I have done this on occasion.
You have.
Mm-hmm. I might get
just
on
talking
it.
To them.
Yeah,
at home,
just it's usually brilliant insight that they need to know. And yeah,
but can't you just? I mean, the way it's described, the lamps, and it's dark and
yeah.
it's boring and it's probably warm. I mean, you can almost get drowsy yourself
right,
as
just
Luke
thinking about it.
This scenario.
Well, and you've just eaten. You've
I think it's
bread
because
together.
Yeah,
but he was continuing to speak until midnight. So
yeah.
he was going on and on.
Ooh.
All by himself.
Yeah,
don't ever talk that long.
And then went back up and talked till daylight.
So yeah. that's not good for the early church. If there had been any more of that, we wouldn't have grown.
So
maybe
I think
that's
the
why there's so many churches.
Right. Right.
We need to start
and
some new churches.
It's so important to people how long the sermon is. Because this could be the outcome.
Yeah. yeah. Lucky might fall out the window.
Poor Lucky.
We're lucky.
We never hear from him again,
we,
do
not
we?
Not that I know of, no.
I don't think he ever went back to church after that.
So all of this to say, there's some really interesting stories in Acts, and I hope that you are enjoying reading through. It's still not too late to catch up.
No.
I mean,
or just start where
just,
we are now.
Yeah, and follow along. It's such an interesting book, story of the early church, and lots of lessons for us to continue to learn from our predecessors. So.
Never sit in an open window.
With a long-winded preacher. What was it, my friends? I have a friend whose uncle was a preacher, and he used to say, 20 minutes is too long for a good sermon and about 10 minutes too long for a bad one. So, hope that you're enjoying this, and we'd love to hear from you. We love to get email from listeners/watchers, whether you are on the podcast or watching us on YouTube. It's formation@uccftw.com. Let us hear from you. What's your favorite story in Acts so far? Have you ever been bored by a sermon in which you fell out of your seat? I'd love to know. We'll take care, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.